Salutations to the population of the BNG Nation. Thank you for being here today on this terrific Tuesday. Terrifically cold Tuesday, in fact. Luckily, I don't have school today because I'm pretty sure wind chills are like minus 40. So, your boy don't gotta go outside. I can be a little hermit crab. But thank you guys for being here. I'm oozing with gratefulness right now that you are here. And I am also oozing with gratefulness for the Pulse Podcast Network. Great group of guys. Great, like, variety of content. And if you yourself are interested in starting a podcast, you should absolutely talk to the Pulse Podcast Network. Because they are an option for starting your own podcast. That's what happened to me. They contacted me and said, hey, you want to start a podcast? And what do you know? I started a podcast. And now we're here with the BNG Nation. Also, this podcast is brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy gives you a wide variety of sports betting. It's a new daily fantasy sports platform. You can play with your favorite. You can play your favorite sports and with your peers, with your friends, with your family, and so on. I'm not exactly entirely sure what this website is based on, but from what I've seen, well, it's an app as well. But from what I'm seeing, you're just betting on the over and unders on. I mean, if you want to do basketball, the specific example is over or under Kevin Durant gets 7.5 total rebounds in a game. So you'd bet on that. I'm not sure what the price totals would be because I'm not the biggest sports gambler because I have bad luck. But regardless, I don't think it'd be too expensive. Maybe throw in like $5. $5 on the over that Kevin Durant gets $8. He gets $8. 8 rebounds, and who knows, you made yourself $10, right? So yeah, it's a smaller option. If you're tired of just fueling the big rig, DraftKings, Draft, what's the other one? FanDuel. I use FanBall, but I don't know if they do over-unders on FanBall. Regardless, you should check them out. I will be putting a link in the description. So if you want to check them out and give me a little bit of credit, the link will be in the description. So check that out. Now, we get down to the business. Why you clicked on this wonderful production of podcast, the Pro Bowl. I watched the Pro Bowl for about one half this past Sunday, and I'll be frank, if you didn't watch it, congrats. It sucked. It was terrible. I couldn't finish the second half. I tuned in for a second, and I just realized this isn't worth my time. I think I watched Hot Ones with Gordon Ramsay, and that was far more entertaining than the Pro Bowl. It's not fun. Players are docile, and they're not having fun. They are having quote-unquote fun. I'm doing italics right now. It feels like an act. It just feels like a total show, and I understand, you know, every Sunday, I guess it's a show, but this literally feels like a scripted nastiness. My comparison to watching the Pro Bowl, it's like watching a child get a stick and hoop for Christmas from grandma and grandpa and pretending to enjoy it. So this old-fashioned thing to this modern kid, and they're like, wow, thanks, grandma and grandpa. That's a terrible impersonation. And you, the viewer, you and me, we are the unamused uncle slash aunt that can't wait till it's over and you can drink away the cringe. Cringe is the key word that I want to talk about. This whole production was a cringe. It's similar to bad acting. We just see the players smiling and acting like they're into it. Really, they have so many better things to be doing than playing a fake football game. I mean, just watch the tackles. I could even go quote-unquote tackles because it's more of just contact. The contact happens, and then it's just done. They blow the whistle. Even with, like, tight ends, like, big tough guys, the first inch of contact, it's done. The play's over. So it's not entertaining. There is no big storylines. And then, hell, it's not even high scoring. The final score is 26-7. at least the NBA All-Star game, they score like 200 points each. It's just not fun. It's just not fun. And that's why I think we just need to blow it up. Now, not literally blow it up. No, I'm not a terrorist, so don't go be reporting me to the feds. But I'm saying just change the entire thing. Make it something that no one has ever seen. Make it completely a new thing. I will say that the pre-bowl activities, they're fun. They're extremely fun. And the players actually get involved and go all out. If you haven't watched it, I highly recommend you go on YouTube and look up the NFL Dodgeball. It is fun. It is so fun. I had a wonderful time watching it. I was interested on what tactics they do. And it's just boys going out there and playing a fun game. It's what I wanted to see. I want them to have fun and make it entertaining for us. The game wasn't fun. It wasn't entertaining. It wasn't gold. It's the same thing over and over and over, which is progressively getting worse and worse and worse. Something needs to change with it. So my suggestion for what needs to be changed is throw in some new ideas like the NFL Olympics. So I guess there's a saying just around the NFL is they have the best athletes in the world. Prove it. Let's make the NFL Olympics. This doesn't even have to be taken seriously. I mean, you can say it's the best athletes in the world, but make it a funny way of proving that they're the best athletes. Think about this. Here's a couple ideas that I brainstormed. NFL ping pong? Who wouldn't watch that? Who wouldn't watch two massive guys duel with two blades in their hand hitting a ping pong as hard as they can? I just think that sounds hilarious. Just have a round robin tournament and the winner gets, like, I don't know, a ping pong championship trophy. I would be so happy with that. NFL party games, connecting with the players. Have, like, the players just be genuine with us. Have them play a game. Have them play Mario Kart. Who knows? I think it would be hilarious if they're bad, if they're good, if it gets heated. I just want to see that because the players would care about this because it won't ruin their career. They don't have to worry about their own health playing ping pong or Mario Kart. I think they would truly be into that. Swimming competitions. Make them play water polo. NFL water polo. NFL. I'm thinking this would be hilarious. This would be for everyone. People would YouTube this and like see the world's biggest men swimming around in goofy goggles and swim caps and trying to play a difficult game. Here's the boldest one I found. Fencing. Why not? NFL fencing? Why not? Just do it. I mean, we have an emergence of time in which the most random of content is getting the most views. There's a show on Fox. It's called The Masked Singer. And it's extremely popular. And it's extremely bizarre. There's celebrities behind these outrageous costumes. And they sing. And the guest judges, who are, of course, famous, they decide who that person is. And it's pretty popular. Every reveal video, they get a million views on YouTube. So why not do this for the NFL? All of this sounds hilarious. Make it funny. Make it fun. Make it entertaining for the watcher. Now, I think they did an okay job this year with the pre-bowl activities. Like I said, dodgeball was amazing. Dodgeball, I loved. I like the gauntlet. The gauntlet is funny. It's entertaining, and it looks like they actually want to win when they get a jump through those dices of AFC, NFC. That's very fun. The throwing challenges, I get a feeling they don't really care about that. That can go away. But just regardless, they care about the fun things, the trivial things that, you know, doesn't really show off their skills. It's just a fun thing that they can get into. And the Pro Bowl, they're just not getting into. Now, I'm not saying to absolutely get rid of the Pro Bowl game. I mean, truth be told, I wouldn't care, but I do think there's a certain sentimental part of the Pro Bowl game. But let's make it funny. Out of position only football. Imagine this. Akeem Hicks, back to pass. Patrick Mahomes, pressuring the quarterback. Complete to Quentin Nelson, tackled by Saquon Barkley. That in itself is just funny to me. Just the idea of like a super big guy, back to pass, probably the ugliest pass I've ever seen, caught by another super big guy who's extremely not skilled with their hands and slow. I just think that would be funny. And I mean, Patrick Mahomes rushing the quarterback, that makes no sense, but it sounds funny. Now, I understand this doesn't have to be full contact because, you know, then the players would get worried about their health. Patrick Mahomes isn't a defensive end, so he would be concerned about his future. I'd be fine with two-hand touch or flag. Just the idea of it just sounds entertaining to me. Saying that, imagine back to pass, Akeem Hicks, it just makes me smile. It just makes me interested in what it's going to be. And at least people would tune in. People would tune in just to see what they do. And that's what they need. I had no motivation to check out the Pro Bowl. It's just a sentimental bore fest. It needs to change. And my slogan will be, make the Pro Bowl watchable again. That's my take on the NFL Pro Bowl. Now we're going to jump to a little bit of Minnesota sports, and we're going to talk about Doris Burke again. I don't know why I keep calling her Burke. Maybe it's the anxiety if I don't want to mess up her name, but I'm overcomplicating her name. But I'm pretty sure her name is Doris Burke. And recently, as of January 19th, she called out Andrew Wiggins for being extremely passive, and it was extremely well-timed. He just stood beyond the three-point line. I already said this in my past podcast, so go check that out if you want the whole rundown. But there's a couple things we need to point out. Andrew Wiggins has kind of increased productivity since that Doris Burke call-out. Since then, he's averaging 21.2 points per game, and that'd be 21st in the league in his 10-game period. Is it a 10-game? I think it's a 5-game period since then. But anyways, that'd be 21st in the league, and hey, I would gladly take a 21st overall scorer on the Timberwolves. Now, there's another thing that happened that could be leading to his productivity. He took 12 shots the night Doris called him out. And in the past three games, he's doubled that with 24 shots per game. And I'm wondering, with these stats, could the quote-unquote destruction, because I don't think it's destruction, in a couple ways, she was actually like praising him for being extremely athletic and has tons of potential. And she just said he's super passive. But I'm just saying, could the destruction of Andrew Wiggins have jump-started him? No, it hasn't. Wiggins has always been this, and Wiggins has always had all the potential in the world and all the athletic ability. Rebuilding his shot and improving his free throws would truly make Wiggins a player that he was drafted to be, but I challenge that will never happen. There has to be some sort of passion or just desire to be good, to be great. You want to want something to make it good. I'm a writing tutor in my, you know, professional field, even though I'm 19. I wouldn't call that professional, but I'm a writing tutor. And I relate that to writing papers. Oftentimes, I'll have students come to me and they hate writing papers. They hate it, hate it, hate it. And oftentimes, that's because they're not writing about something they want to write about. But as soon as you get a writing thing or a writing assignment that interests them, they are writing gods. They are extremely talented. They're motivated. They are interested to learn more. It's all about passion and what you want. So if you're interested in writing or you're motivated to write well, you're going to write well. If you're motivated to play basketball and be as great as you can, you're going to play basketball well. There's a lot to desire that happens in everything in life. You can be naturally talented at something, but just not care about it. And you're not going to care if you're average. And that's what Wiggins is. I don't know if he has the passion to be great for the Timberwolves or any NBA franchise. It was a mistake to sign him to that max contract. But that's just something Timberwolves fans need to accept and expect for the near future. That's just what we're going to get in a night in, night out basis. I don't think these numbers will stick out for Wiggins, especially with Robert Covington and Tyus Jones out. Eventually, those numbers will come back to earth and he will be the average Andrew Wiggins. Wrapping up the podcast, we got to get our Minnesota Vikings in. And we're in a dull point of news for Vikings-related content. It's kind of just draft phase. I am excited for the Super Bowl. Maybe I should... Yeah, why not? We're going to sneak something in. We're going to have a Super Bowl prediction at the end here for a reward for listening to the entire thing because my fans are so great. My BNG nation, salutation, population. Anyways, ESPN's Bill Barnwell just released his estimations for Vegas's 2019 NFL team win predictions. So that'd just be like just the odds of what team score or not scores, what team reaches a win mark. And like, I'm pretty sure the St. Louis Cardinals. I did not just say that. I said the St. Louis Cardinals. All right, forget about that. I'm going to punish myself when this podcast is over. The Arizona Cardinals are projected, I think, 4.5 wins, or at least 4. And the over-under is like 110 to 110. So it's an even split of if they, you know, get more wins than that. It's pretty simple. You can see it on ESPN's site. Just go to the NFL page, and then you should see Bill Barnwell's estimations, blah, 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 blah. But for our Vikings news, the Vikings were projected 9 wins, and they're favored to go over. He points out that Zimmer's 5 years average, or his 5-year tenure with the Minnesota Vikings, he's averaging 9.5 wins per season. He also indicates the possible offseason losses of Sheldon Richardson, Anthony Barr, Dan Bailey, and Latavius Murray. Now, for a diehard Vikings fan, that might seem kind of cheap. If you really do think last year was a mulligan, yeah, that's probably pretty cheap for a Vikings fan. But being realistic, I think that's a safe bet. It's a respectful bet for the Vikings. It's a safe bet to take the over. I think we can expect more than 9 wins this year. Up and down seasons are common for Vikings since the arrival of Zimmer. Yeah, I mean, just compare 2017 to 2018. Pretty self-explanatory. Also 2016 to 2015. We're kind of just like in and out of playoffs every single year, which one should expect a better season than 2018 in 2019. Especially with another year of continuity for the oftentimes confused offense. I think another year was Kevin Stefanski at the reins could really help. We saw that with Pat Shurmur from 2016 to 2017. Who knows what's going to happen, but I'm glad Kevin Stefanski is still here. But it is true that there will be mainly subtractions this offseason, considering there is limited cap space thanks to the fully guaranteed deal with Cousins. We're not going to address if that's good or not because, one, it's over talked about, and two, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Without looking at the schedule, I think a 10-win season could be easily attained. I didn't want to go in-depth on that because that will be a future podcast, but yeah, I didn't want to look at the schedule. I mean, you can just try to figure things out. I think it's reasonable to say we could probably split the series with both Green Bay and Chicago. Now, this is bold, and I have no clue what's going to happen, considering we do have struggles with Detroit, but I think we can sweep Detroit. I wouldn't be overly worried about that, and if we just do the math there, that's just 4 wins and 2 losses just in conference play. I have to figure that out. Division? Regardless, so if you are into sports betting, I would take the over on the Vikings 9 wins mark. You have to pay, I think you have to pay $125 to win $100 on that bet. I don't know sports betting as we spoke about before. I think you can pay less and you just get a lesser return. There's some sort of percentage that you'll figure out or whatever. But that's just my take on the Vikings right now. The news is just pretty quiet. It's just a bunch of draft talk, and we can go more in depth on the future Viking draft picks. I've already talked about how I think the Vikings should draft a quarterback, but we'll save that for a later date. That's just my Vikings take right now. If you're interested in sports betting, take the over on the Vikings. Now, for the people that made it to the end of the podcast, we're just going to make it short and quick. I think the Patriots will be winning the Super Bowl. It's a hard time. This is an interesting matchup. I've heard a variety of opinions. A lot of people give the LA Rams quite a big chance or higher odds. And a lot of people agree that the Rams actually have the better team. The issue here is experience. Now, there's just something in my gut that I think the Rams are going to put up a good fight and might even win. There's almost a Philadelphia Eagles vibe, I guess. And not necessarily, but the idea of, oh, Jared Goff isn't a good enough quarterback to win the game. That's a similar situation to, Nick Foles in 2018. I'm just interested to see what's going to happen. I am still taking the Patriots, though. It's a better bang for your buck and for your bet. Just take the experience. You got to bet on greatness in this situation. Now, Sean McVay is going to be one of the great coach in NFL soon as Belichick is done. I just think right now I got to bet with the GOAT. I got to bet with them. The GOAT and Belichick, you got to go with it. That's my take. There's certain statistics that you can go into. A lot of people would take the LA Rams on a -3 bet, or is it +3? I think it's a +3 bet, or is it -3? I don't know sports betting. Gosh. Regardless, some people are taking the Rams, and I fully understand that. I think this is going to be a great game, other than a blowout. I mean, you could just say experience, the Patriots are going to kill. I don't think so. I think it's going to be tight, and I'm so pumped to listen. That is the little bit I'm giving the viewers who made it to, or listeners who made it to the end. I really am grateful for everyone that's here. My following on Twitter is just getting bigger and bigger, and that's making me happier and happier. And it's motivating me to make these podcasts more and more and more and more and more for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks to come. Regardless, I thank you guys for being here. It really means the world. I also thank the Pulse Podcast Network and Thrive Fantasy. Remember to check out that link in the description. It will make me some money. So if I make money, I can make better productions. All right, BNG, thank you for listening. This has been your boy, Cody Olson, and I will see you next week.